Good morning, everybody. I think I'm getting some feedback here. Here we go. There we go. Folks, it threw me off. I had the video playing in the background. I thought I was losing my mind after a wild Sunday in the NFL. So I apologize for that little awkward intro. We are here. We are ready to go. I thought, again, earlier, I thought I had everything set up, but I had the wrong broadcast going when we first started. Hence why we are a couple minutes late. But we are here and we are ready to talk about what an exciting Sunday weekend in NFL football, or exciting NFL weekend of football that we just had. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my man, Mr. Unlimited. We're going to talk about the real Mr. Unlimited in just a minute. Mike DeBate. Mike, how's it going?
La, la, la. Doing well, my friend. Here on this Monday following week two not in the books yet. Still a big Monday nighter tonight. The Las Vegas Raiders and the New Orleans Saints locking horns to finish off the week. But what an exciting Sunday slate. Thank you all for tuning in today. We know that you're tuning in to hear two of the best in the business break down everything and anything related to...
When are they coming on?
Yeah, unfortunately, those guys aren't here, so you're going to have to deal with me and Ian. But, you know, all kidding aside, folks, seriously, it will be great to break down this Sunday slate. A lot of action, including from, NBA, a lot of stuff going on. Just sports is back, and it's just, it really, really feels it now with the NFL in almost mid-season mode now after only week two. Tough day for injuries yesterday in the NFL. Tough day for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, Ian and I both being, Patriots fans and having covered the team for quite some time. We know James White, and what he brings to the region of New England and what he brings to that team, suffering a devastating loss of his father yesterday. My heart completely goes out to him. It was a piece of news that immediately, spoke to my heart. I know what it's like to lose your father suddenly, and I can't imagine the pain that he was feeling yesterday. I know the type of hurt, but not to the degree that he, felt yesterday. So, prayers for his mom, who I believe is still in, last I heard, is still in critical condition in the hospital. We're, sending prayers that she's able to pull through, but condolences and as comforting thoughts as possible to James White and his family during this very difficult time. Sad news to begin the Sunday night football cycle last night, but a great slate of NFL games, and we'll definitely break them all down for you today.
Yeah, and look, yeah, that was obviously something, because I kind of gave away a little bit of what I was going to do there in a second, and I apologize. That was certainly not intended for, obviously, the discussion we're having right now. I'm just trying to think ahead, and clearly the technology is not working in my favor today. But, it's obviously something that we learned just moments before, or really, not too long before kickoff, that he was going to be inactive. And that was kind of a shock, because you're like, oh, wait a minute, what happened? Did he injure himself? What's going on? But, obviously shortly thereafter, we did find out why. And look, the outpouring of support from his teammates and others across the league, former Wisconsin teammates of his, including Russell Wilson, who we're going to, like I said, talk about here in a minute. It kind of speaks to who, James White is, and I think he's universally one of the more liked players in the league, not only by his own teammates, but by other players around. And of course, he'll live in Patriots Super Bowl lore with his performance in Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons, who... Speaking of the Falcons, how about them Atlanta Falcons? I never thought that they would ever have anything that would ever rival the Super Bowl blown lead. But here we are. It's the 21st of September. And the Atlanta Falcons. Since you already knew I was going to play the song, I might as well just play it. There we go.
That's it.
And I'm going to ask you. Ready? Here it comes. When the Atlanta Falcons blew a 20-0 lead to the Dallas Cowboys, and there was actually people there to see it. That was, I mean, anyone watching that game, you just go on to social media, and you could see people asking the question, are they going to do it? And not talking about the Cowboys. No one was talking about the Cowboys. They were talking about the Falcons. Are the Falcons going to blow yet another massive lead with some just incredibly poor decision-making and play? And look, this is in no way close to anything that happened to them, except for the score in the Super Bowl. It's just you don't often see a team that, you know, again, it's not the same exact team, but there's enough parts of that team, enough key parts of that team that were there during the Super Bowl to watch that blown lead happen. This is tough, and now the Falcons are, I mean, I don't know, what are they? Are they the third or fourth best team in the division? I think so, and that really means, it's probably going to mean not a playoff season for them again, and what happens is Dan Quinn finally going to get the axe? Is the love that he has from a large portion of the fan base finally going to run thin, and is he going to be gone? It probably should be. You know, that's just bad. I mean, I understand blowing some leads sometimes, but I mean, a 20-point lead, I don't know. If I'm a Falcons fan, I'm pissed.
No, I mean, you look at the magnitude of what, you know, this team has been through.
Sorry, it's a Community reference if anyone ever watches Community, the show. Yeah. Magnitude, he's a one-man party, you know, pop. Okay, whatever. Anyways, I probably only reached about, three listeners that we have that actually watch that show, but I had to chime in with that. Go ahead, Mike.
No, that was good.
I apologize.
That was a nice drop-in. I like it. It was creative. But in any case, folks, there's another one. You keeping a tally this morning, my friend? I think you should.
I there's a lot of things I have on my plate today.
Yeah, my catchphrases, which don't catch on. So that's the whole thing.
Don't worry. We're going to start making t-shirts, kind of wrestling style t-shirts. So you know how everyone has their catchphrases on t-shirts. Well, that's what we're going to do with you. We're going to get pictures of your face and different, you know, action shots. And we're just going to put your catchphrases on t-shirts, and I'm going
to
see if it catches on.
No, you don't want to put my face on a t-shirt. That's a surefire way to kill sales.
Yeah.
But
well,
in any case, I really, really can't understand how they blew that lead yesterday. I just don't. You look at the the magnitude of blowing a Super Bowl lead the way they did in Super Bowl 51 is never, nothing is ever going to compare to that in their franchise's history, unless they eclipse it by winning the Super Bowl. But at the same time, this is a tough situation for them. They're in a very difficult division. We saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not dead, regardless of all of the prognostications of doom that happened the week before. This team is still very capable of winning. Tom Brady is still very capable of playing quarterback in this league. So they're going to be a factor. The New Orleans Saints will continue to be a factor in that division. A lot of prowess on offense and on defense. We saw that the Carolina Panthers can hang and can really give anybody a game yesterday. They're down 21-0 at one point, and then they come back to within 21-14 and really made that a game. So if the Falcons don't change something really quick, then, yeah, they're looking at a very long year where a lot of people had projected them to possibly be a playoff team or someone that could really, give Tampa Bay and New Orleans a run for their money in that division. Absolutely, disheartening. And you look at Matt Ryan's stat sheet and you look at the performance that he put through and you're like, how did they lose that game? It really just doesn't make much sense. But, Falcons are going to Falcon, and I think that's exactly what you saw yesterday. So,
Arthur Blankchief. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The greatest dance ever. Actually, that's That's about the extent of my dancing abilities, anyway. So I can't really knock him for that.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah,
I wouldn't look too different, to be honest with you. So
me either. The only difference is I wouldn't do it in an owner's box. First of all, I don't own anything like that, so I would never be in that position. But in any case, yeah, you don't want to say. And we're not allowed to dance in the press box, folks. So anyone who thinks that they could catch, Ian and I, dancing when we're finally allowed back in there, then we'll do what we do. But no, it's just an interesting day if you're a Falcons fan yesterday. It's going to be a tough one to live down.
Yeah, look, they were facing long odds, I think, to begin with, to win the division or even make the playoffs because of how deep the NFC is. And that is, again, I'm assuming that the Saints and the Buccaneers at the end of the season are going to be the best two teams in that division. And again, it's just a matter of lack of space. We've seen already the NFC West, I think, and, injuries aside, I think the NFC West still could bring three teams to that, into the playoffs. We know Seattle. We saw them last night. We've seen Arizona the last 2 weeks, and that's something. I didn't get many things right before this season. There's a lot of things. I released 20 predictions, and I think about 19 of them just went out the window in week one. So, I'm not that great at predicting things. But one of the things that I've been really excited for this season is to watch this Cardinals team, because I was really excited for what they could do. And boy, is Kyler Murray he's so fun to watch. I mean, he's so damn quick. Like, he kind of reminds me of Ant-Man, when he, shrinks down and then he, zooms all around. That's essentially what he is, when I see him just, there's that one rushing touchdown that he had where he just was not touched by a single defender. Not even a force from the air of a missing hand swiping through the wind did it touch Kyler Murray. And if that made sense to you, then I applaud you, because that was horrible sentence structure right there. But the point being, he was just so quick that, it was so much fun to watch. And look, how dumb is Bill O'Brien? We could spend the next 39 minutes talking about this. He's made it to this point in his profession, and you got to give him all the credit in the world, but how do you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins? How do you decide that he is the guy that needs to go? There's so many other questionable coaching decisions that he's made and personnel decisions, but man, he looks, DeAndre Hopkins just looks so perfect in that offense, and with Kyler Murray, it's a lot of fun to watch. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you want to talk about interesting divisions. Now, all of a sudden, you take a look at the NFC West and teams that, you really didn't expect that were going to continue, pretty much figured that it was going to be the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers duking it out at the top of that division. All of a sudden, Arizona looks like a very formidable team, a team that's going to be in every game that they play, and a team that can win, and they can win pretty well. They've proven that. Kyler Murray does look. He's making running look so easy, folks, and I assure you what he's doing is not easy, but he's making it look easy. And for a player with only a two-year pedigree, that's a pretty impressive, that's a pretty impressive thing to do. The LA Rams continue to play, well. The San Francisco 49ers picked up a win against the Jets yesterday, but that team is absolutely decimated with injuries right now. Just a real charge of the light brigade type game for them yesterday, where they ran through the gauntlet, and now you're facing the loss of some potentially franchise-changing, players that may be out for significant amounts of time. It's not looking good for Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the latest prognostication on Solomon. That's not looking good as well. Jimmy Garoppolo coming off the field with a high ankle sprain. Both of their top running backs, whether it be Raheem Mostert or Tevin Coleman, had some injury issues yesterday. So difficult day for the San Francisco 49ers. And if they're going to be missing any chunk of those players for a good amount of time, it's going to be tough for them in that division, because they're facing a stiff amount of competition. And we haven't even mentioned the Seahawks yet, who had an impressive win over the New England Patriots yesterday, which, really went down to the wire. Both teams very impressive in this game. I came away not feeling very, very down after a Patriots loss like that, because I think both teams went all out on the field.
Can I ask you something?
Absolutely.
How and look, I'm guilty of it too, because I, you know, having these conversations months ago, we, you know, we kind of just wrote them off. But how did Cam Newton go unsigned? I mean, okay, maybe I'm just kind of prisoner of the moment here a little bit. Maybe I'm just, you know, still a little worked up from last night, because, you know, as I said to you off the air, I don't think I've ever come away from a loss like that as excited about what's to come. You know, obviously there it's a different mentality without Tom Brady. It's taken a bit of an adjustment, but I feel like the expectations almost aren't necessarily that different, because I think we're starting to see that this offense can hang. And you know, that interception aside, Cam Newton has looked phenomenal, and I was thrilled to see them open up the playbook a bit. I know there's been a lot of criticism about the playbook, and I'll get to that in a minute, but like, I was thrilled to see them open it up and let him just sling the ball around, because he clearly can do that. And yeah, so I guess it's kind of a rhetorical question, but maybe this will lead into a discussion. But how did he go unsigned? I don't understand. I mean, through 2 weeks, I'm sitting here thinking, like, how did we miss this? How did we not see this coming? But, you know, at the same time, you know, he did miss all of last season, and, you know, this, I guess, legitimate concerns about health. But I mean, boy, does he look good.
He looks phenomenal. He looks phenomenal. And you know, the whole thing in a nutshell is you know, hindsight can always be 20/20. People can look at it and say, you know, like we're doing this morning, and I agree with you. It's easy to look at this and say, how did this guy not get looks from other NFL teams? How did he essentially fall to the Patriots for a
Cheating.
bargain basement deal? You know, yeah, all right. I know. It's,
Belichick, you
the
know.
take off the tinfoil hat, buddy. Okay. No, I'm kidding. I know it's
My
not coming from
skull
you,
is made
but
of tinfoil, my friend. It's not coming
well,
off.
that is true. Yes, we do know that. But Cam is really looking comfortable running this offense. I mean, a lot is made out of the incorporation of the zone schemes. A lot of, is made out of the incorporation of RPOs, utilizing play action to open up the running game. These are things that Cam does well. We knew that was going to be a part of the Patriots, you know, arsenal going forward with Cam Newton as the quarterback. But anyone that was concerned about whether or not this guy can throw the football, whether or not he had any type of arm strength issues because of the shoulder injury, get them out of your head. There should
Yeah.
not be any more of those concerns. Just replay Cam's 50-yard dime to
Yeah.
Julian Edelman. Edelman got space, you know, against I believe it was Jamal Adams that he was going up against in that play, and Newton just read it. He moved to his left, away from the rush, released the ball, and just, I thought, looked as comfortable and as good throwing the football as Cam has ever looked. It really is interesting to me that he's making plays outside of the scheme. He's extending down from the pocket, doing a great job of stepping up in the pocket,
I
being
was
able
just
to
gonna
make
say
throws. These are
his
things,
movement,
yeah.
his movement in particular in the pocket has been very impressive. There's a couple plays, like, look, I mean, Jamal Adams is a hell of a player. Having, you know, being able to shake him and avoid him, and I mean, it was really impressive. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and a lot of the issues that one of the knocks on Cam before coming into New England was that he wasn't really consistent downfield, that his accuracy was not exactly the best. That I think it had a lot to do, and I was speaking to Evan Lazar about this a little bit last night of CLNS Media, where we were talking about his lower body mechanics. And if you look at Cam's earlier days and you look at what his, you know, feet and mechanics weren't always in sync with his footwork. It was a little bit different. Now I think you're seeing that his feet is syncing up with his throws, his shoulders are staying level, his torso is getting into the throw. So he's adding velocity in that regard. He's looking stronger, he's looking quicker, and I think he's a much better thrower of the football now than he has been in quite some time. To me, it's just, it adds another dimension to his game. And if Patriots fans are looking for someone to quote unquote blame for that loss last night, it's certainly not Cam Newton. He did everything he needed to do to keep that team right in the thick of things.
And here's the thing, and this was what was kind of getting to me, and I was going to tweet something, but I just didn't feel like typing it. I'll be honest. You know, sometimes I'm just like, eh, the effort to put this tweet together is just not worth, you know, the whatever. Anyways, you know, people out there sitting there like after the loss, I mean, everyone's pissed off. Not everyone, I'm saying, I'm generalizing a large group of Patriots fans. Everyone's pissed off. They're angry. Oh, that was a horrible play call by Josh McDaniels, this, that, and the other. Like, I don't know about you, but I sat there and said, okay, you have one play from the 1 yard line. It's got to be Cam. There was no doubt in my mind that it had to be Cam that tried to take that ball in. Now, again, did the play work? No, it didn't. But you can look at it and say, oh, well, this, you know, this bad play call. No, they're trying to figure out each other. I mean, this is game two without a preseason. And you just watched the Patriots offense, who, again, has been the biggest question mark surrounding this offense or surrounding this team in quite some time because you don't have Tom Brady. You just watch them go toe-to-toe with, you know, we'll get to it in a minute, the best quarterback in the league and one of the most explosive offenses right now in the league. And you're sitting there worried about one play call. It was working all game. You keep doing it. And you know what? Seattle just made a really good play. Jakob Johnson didn't hold the block, and you know what? It is what it is. And again, is it disappointing that they lost? Absolutely. The Patriots started 8-0 last year. What did that get them? A one-way ticket home in the wild card round because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're 1-1 right now, and like I said, I'm looking at this and saying, Josh McDaniels, I thought, called a hell of a game. Were there plays that you probably were sitting there thinking, okay, maybe we could have done this differently? Sure, absolutely. This is game two of essentially a brand new offensive mentality. They're going to figure it out. I mean, what we've seen from just the leap from week one, Cam passing offense and just offense in general to week two, I mean, was incredible. I mean, like yeah. I said, last week we saw a very, you know, kind of neutered passing game. He got a chance to throw the ball a few times, but for the most part, they were controlling the ball on the ground and kind of showing that aspect of it. Again, we just saw him throw for 397 yards and scored twice on the ground through his first touchdown pass of the season. And aside from really that interception, I don't remember too many bad decisions. There was one other near pick on a very similar play. Again, that's maybe where you can criticize some you know, got to get a little bit more creative in the play calling. But the amount of times that he had the ball in his hand and the amount of yards that he accounted for versus the entire you know, Patriots offensive yardage, it was impressive. And I said it last week, I would not be shocked if things keep going the way they're going. There's no doubt in my mind that he will get re-signed during the season. And look, you keep throwing in games like he did last night, I wouldn't be surprised to see it by October. Let's put it that way, because the Patriots are smart. They're not going to sit here and say, we're not going to risk letting a 31-year-old potential, you know, franchise quarterback. I mean, let's think about it. For the next few years, he could be a franchise quarterback for you if he continues to evolve like he has. And look, I'm excited as a fan, and it was just fun to watch. So
it was. It absolutely was. And I agree with you. I actually discussed something very similar talking to our friends at 990 The Ticket in Bangor, Maine, Wayne Harvey and the crew at ESPN Radio this morning. And we were talking about Cam and whether or not this could end up being a long-term relationship here with the Patriots, where most people thought this was going to be a one-year rental. I, for one, would love to see him back in New England. Yeah. I think he's endeared himself to the teammates, to his region, to his coaching staff. But ultimately, he's proving that he can play this game at a high level, and he can still do it for a number of years, only being 31. To me, it's a no-brainer. We'll see what Cam's plans are. We'll see what the Patriots' plans are, but I think it's going to be a great you know, opportunity for them to be able to work something out long-term, and Cam deserves it. He mm-hmm. deserves that for the way he's played, the adversity he's come back from, and just his ability to keep this team afloat when everyone had pretty much written them off. And there were still a lot of people that had their doubts, even when Cam was signed, that he would be able to really live up to the expectations of playing in New England. He's done that, and he's done it tenfold. I'm glad you mentioned the play calling, because that was the first piece of feedback that I received last night, as you know, my coverage of the game was wrapping up, and I'm writing my recap, and I'm thinking about what you know that play was and how that play was called. Folks, think about this: Cam Newton had already scored twice on that play earlier in the game. He ran the same play in Week mm-hmm. One out of the same personnel package, converted the first down, got near the goal line, and he was able to then just melt the clock away against the Dolphins. Also, ESPN's stat line says that Newton had an 80% success rate, 16 for 20, when rushing from the one-yard mm-hmm. line. It's hard to imagine that Josh McDaniels made the wrong call there. I know a lot of people want to play hindsight being 20-20 and, you know, the Monday morning quarterback, any of the type of, analogies you want to put there. But McDaniels did essentially make the right call, or the Patriots coaching staff, I should say, made the right call in doing that. You got to give a lot of credit to the Seattle Seahawks in this situation. Bobby Wagner came up, was the disruptive yeah. force in that play, and really, I think, set the tone. A lot of credit is being given to Lano Hill, who did a great job of disrupting Jakob Johnson with the block where he wasn't able to pull the block. That was a big part of it. Lano Hill made a great play on that. And then, of course, L.J. Collier coming up with the stop. He was in, you know, perfect position at the time to be able to do it. Credit Seattle, who made a great call. They were able to stack it. Yes, it probably was a little bit obvious that this play was coming, especially when the Patriots
lined up. I mean, I said they should do it before they even came out of break. I was like, yeah, you know, you ride Cam. You have to. You have to.
I don't think there was anybody that will begrudge the Patriots from putting the ball in the hands of their best player and seeing what could have happened. Unfortunately, it didn't work out in this case. I know a loss is a loss, and sometimes it's tough to take, but there are a lot of great positives to take away if you're a Patriots fan in this one.
And you know what this, and you know what this tells me, and we're going to shift to the other quarterback here in just a moment because I do want to talk about Mr. Unlimited. But what it tells me is that this coaching staff already trust him, and this isn't the only example. Earlier in the game, on the I believe it was that fourth and short, they trusted him to throw the ball and get that big first down, which it was. It was a big first down. And, like, I think of it this way. I'm looking at this and saying, Cam Newton has been a New England Patriot for 7 weeks. Does it seem only 7 weeks? Because it seems like it's been a lot longer. Because, like you mentioned, the way he's taken to the coaching staff, the way he's taken to his teammates, and his teammates have taken to him, it's been incredible to watch. And like I said, if you're a Patriots fan, you should be coming out of that game excited about what you're about to see this season, and hope to see this season, because there's a lot of encouraging things and a lot of things to be excited for. And I can't imagine people expected that so soon after the end of the Tom Brady. We're two games into the post Tom Brady era, and I think there's already renewed excitement about what could potentially be. But anyways, we spent enough time on the Patriots, and we're still going to kind of talk about them here indirectly, because we're going to be talking about their opponent here. Russell Wilson, I think, and this is something that I kind of enjoyed a little bit yesterday, because there's a lot of things at stake here. I've been, you know, pounding the desk for, I don't know, forever about this, premature coronation of Patrick Mahomes, and I've often used Lamar Jackson, given the, you know, really direct comparison between their age and just kind of how their careers have started. And our good friend Kyle Center has obviously always thrown Russell Wilson into the mix, and I've certainly agreed with him, because I'm a big fan of Russell Wilson, and I think he is the best quarterback in the game. And I think this weekend is further proof that, like, we gotta stop living in the moment and just picking and choosing what we want. Because, again, please, someone, if you can, explain to me how Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. And if you want to start with the whole MVP argument, well, I've given my logical reasoning for that. Well, if that's the case, then, well, Lamar Jackson should be the best quarterback in the league right now. So anyone out there, I challenge you, please tell me how Patrick Mahomes is better than Russell Wilson, and how is he better than Lamar Jackson? I can believe the second one, you know, you can make a case for that, but how is he better than Russell Wilson? I'm not asking you, I'm asking the listeners out there, because again, I think people are maybe starting to come around a little bit to my thinking, and you know, you would have asked me a couple months ago, I would have you know, people would have thought I was crazy, and they still do, and that's probably never going to go away. But yeah, I again, what was impressive? Yes, Patrick Mahomes made a great throw yesterday against the Chargers. He's not the only one who can do that, and that's the issue that I have, is like, we saw that, and my thought was, wow, finally a throw worthy of the praise, because all too often, he gets heaps and mountains of praise for things that really shouldn't get that. You should be getting, oh yeah, that was nice, that was a nice play, but you know, he gets, oh, that was the greatest play, it's the greatest at least this, that, and the other. I mean, we've already seen it with this play. It was, no one in the league can do that. Well, no, a lot of players in the league can do it. Kyler Murray did it in that earlier in his game. He made a throw like that. Aaron Rodgers can do it. I mean, he's played phenomenal the first 2 weeks. You go back in history, Steve Young, Steve McNair, you know, again, this over the top, like just absurd, hyperbole that surrounds Patrick Mahomes is what frustrates me the most. But at the same time, I think it's starting to play out that, yeah, he's got a long way to go to be the best quarterback in the league. I mean, he's not the greatest talent to ever step foot on the football field. I mean, let's be real here. Let's be honest. Let's stop trying to be prisoners of the moment and just realize, like, he had a really great first season in the league. He won a Super Bowl last year, but he's had a stretch where he's been good. I'm not saying he's not, but he's not this like a godly talent that people make him out to be. And I think Russell Wilson is clearly making a case as to why that's the case, because I think Russ is clearly the best in the league right now. I mean, his ability to just, I mean, people talk, oh, Patrick Mahomes, they're always in the red zone, he can throw deep. No, Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw deep. And when he does, it's, yeah, everyone can be accurate every so often, but more often than not, he's just like a guy, you know? That's why they throw a lot of short passes, because that's the type of offense that they have. They have a lot of playmakers on the outsides that can catch the ball, make plays, and open space, and there you go. You add up yards. Patrick Mahomes completed one pass beyond 19 yards in his first game, and he's touted as this incredible deep ball thrower. No, Russell Wilson is an incredible deep ball thrower. They were talking about it on the broadcast last night, listing all these stats and everything like that. And Russ is literally first in every single one of them. Deep balls to the outside shoulder, to the inside, everything. Russell Wilson is number one. So I'm sitting here saying, like, okay, again, anyone out there, I challenge you, please make a definitive case as to why Patrick Mahomes is, quote unquote, clearly the best quarterback in the league. Like so many fans and surprisingly national commentators seem to just so casually say all the time. So that's my rant ish. There could be more coming. I don't know. Kind of play it out, see how it goes. So
no, I mean, earlier last week we heard Bill Belichick say that Russell Wilson, yeah, was vastly underrated by the media, by the fans, and said that he really didn't see anybody better than that player. Watching the game on Sunday, you can understand why Bill Belichick felt that way. And I understood why he felt that way prior to going into the game. Mm-hmm. I've always been a big fan of the way Russell Wilson plays. I think he is the complete package when it comes to a quarterback, whether you look at being able to extend plays with his legs, vision, poise, pocket presence, being able to complete passes, being able to throw the ball, just everything he does has a certain polish to it and a certain precision to it that really leads me to believe that he is the best in the league right now. Some of the throws that he made last night were, I mean, just putting these...
Oh, incredible.
Putting these balls exactly where his receivers could get them and nobody else. A lot of people are going to point to the... And I found myself, you know, getting sucked into this as well. You look at it and you almost say, well, wow, the Patriots defense is really getting lit up. Oh,
no.
The secondary is not covering... Folks, go back and look at those five touchdowns. They were not busted coverages. Russell Wilson is putting the ball. He's laying it in where these guys are. Granted, he's got some very talented receivers without any question. I think you can make the argument that Patrick Mahomes has got some very talented
I'd say receivers. They're more talented, but...
Yeah. That 54-yard bomb yesterday, even Tyreek Hill, after the game, said that he believed Patrick overthrew him a little bit. Tyreek had to go and he had to lunge for it. It was a good ball. There's no question about it, but he had to lunge for that a little bit. It was a little bit overthrown. Russell Wilson is laying these passes in exactly where his receivers can catch and make plays, and you saw that
Like
yesterday.
multiple angles
Just
too. I mean, like
exactly
we saw
multiple
we saw
angles.
that one you know, against, you know, obviously DK Metcalf and Stephon Gilmore. He put that ball in a high arcing. I mean, that's the only way that you're going to beat Stephon Gilmore in that situation. People are like, oh, you know, DK Metcalf burns. No, Stephon Gilmore was right on him. It's just, what can you do when you have a receiver it's far bigger and the quarterback puts the ball in an incredibly perfect position in a really, like I said, high arcing throw. And it was purposely done that way because of, you know, how the play was developing. So, I mean, it's just, it's incredible how good he is. I think he has more touchdown passes than he has incompletions on the year, or pretty close. I mean, there's maybe like one difference, which is, again, think about that.
11 incompletions, 9 touchdown
yeah.
passes for Ruff.
That's
that
absurd.
Is an amazing, amazing statistic for Russell Wilson, who deserves all the credit that he's
but
getting.
But no,
right
Patrick
now.
Mahomes, you know, he's fun. He's exciting. He's got, you know, he does the Pantene Pro or the Head and Shoulders commercials. He's great, you know.
Well, you know,
he
I
does
mean,
things
Kim
no one
Mahomes,
else does,
you know,
except for everyone, you know, about 10 quarterbacks that I can think of right off the top of my head. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Folks, if you're in the Kansas City area, send your hate mail directly to Ian Glendon, care of not kidding. I'm
yeah,
only,
yeah.
Know,
I'm, my
line,
my
I'm,
Twitter handle is at MDABATE.
Yeah, right.
No.
Okay,
bring the
yep,
smoke,
yep.
folks. At IGLEN31. I'm ready for it. I've been preparing for this fight for quite some time, and I'm only getting stronger because I feel like the case that I'm making. I'm starting to see questions. You see them pop up on Twitter every so often, and yesterday it happened more often than not. Wow, Russ, how good is Russell Wilson? And look, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he had a, like I said, he had one really good throw. I mean, one that was actually worth the praise. But then, of course, again, the praise went over the top because, you know, you got Dan Orlovsky going on TV saying like, oh, he's the only one who could do that. When I literally saw Kyler Murray do something almost identical earlier that day. So, again, hyperbole is over the top when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. But when you look at Russell Wilson, there's no amount of hyperbole that can do justice to how well he's playing right now, because right now he's not getting that type of praise. I just hope that this game last night and what we see moving forward starts to kind of shift the focus and actually make people stop and think and be like, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe we jumped the gun a little bit. Let's see how these, you know, this plays out and see who really grabs this mantle. Right now, I think it's Russell Wilson by a mile.
Yeah, and I mean, I would definitely agree with you in saying that Russell Wilson deserves to be in that conversation, if not at the top of that conversation. And I think based on what I saw last night, it's hard to argue. I think he's playing at the most elite level of any quarterback in the league right now. And that's saying a lot when you have guys like Lamar Jackson.
You are
Jackson,
always so far more like diplomatic than I am. I think that's your political background.
It is, but you know what? I give credit where credit is due to Patrick yesterday. 18 of 25, 222 yards and a touchdown on the final four drives. Also had the four runs for 29 yards, including that 22-yard scramble on 3rd and 21 late in regulation. That put the Chiefs into field goal range. So you give credit where credit is due to what this kid has been able to do. He's had a tremendous start to his career. And look, there's no one that's going to argue that he doesn't belong to in this echelon in this conversation. What we're trying to flush out, and I think, you know, my friend with a little more fervor and maybe a little bit more fire in the seat than I do, is try to flush out exactly why the credit is given in a lot of cases on only one side when there are other players, there are other quarterbacks that are making plays very similar, that are making these things look routine. And to me, Russell Wilson right now is making his position look more routine than anybody else. And it's hard to argue that he doesn't belong at the top of that conversation. He played a phenomenal game last night, and he played a phenomenal game the week before. He's almost been a perfect quarterback through two games, and I don't think you can say that about too many guys in the league right now.
Certainly not Patrick Mahomes, even though he has. I mean, can a guy benefit from getting interceptions called back more than Pat? I mean, I swear it happens once or twice a game, and it's like, at the end of the game, it's like, oh, Patrick Mahomes remains perfect with zero interceptions. It's like, no, I mean, he had an incredible number of inaccurate passes yesterday. So, yeah, I do have a little bit more fervor because, for as much energy folks come out and sit there and basically just blind themselves to every other player in the league when it comes to making. Big plays when they talk about Patrick Mahomes. I'm here to counter that. I'm here to bring everyone back to sanity here, and that's what I'm trying to do, Mike. And if you're laughing under your breath, if you're laughing at home listening, yes, I am one trying to make things sane again, and I even find that funny. So we'll see how that actually plays out. But yeah, I mean, we sit there and watch, and it's like, I mean, think about this, Mike. What would be the narrative? Let's pretend. Let's play make believe right here and say Tom Brady's still the quarterback of the Patriots. What would be the narrative surrounding that game had Tom Brady, up against a rookie quarterback making his first start, needed two 58-yard field goals from his kicker to win the game? How would that? I mean, just think about it. Think about the vitriol and the absolute negative slant that would be put. I'll be like, oh, Tom Brady gets bailed out again, this, that, and the other. And then, now we see it in reality with Patrick Mahomes. Oh, well, Patrick Mahomes makes a play that no one else can make except for dozens of quarterbacks that have come and currently play. So again, that's my fight. That's where I will never give up, Mike. I will never give up that fight.
Well, I
I'll
can't say that
continue
I
it
blame
tomorrow.
you, and again, I know we love to blame the media for a lot of it, and it's the easy way to put it, but it's the fan narrative that people want to buy into. And look, the media is going to fuel that. You have 90% of the country hating Tom Brady for all of the success that he had in New England. He basically, how many Super Bowl parties that guy ruined over the course of his career for teams and fans all around the country? I mean, we've seen
Oh, look,
videos of
let's be
guys
real.
in
Super Bowl.
Pittsburgh.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah,
I got to say
well.
this. Super Bowl parties are awful. I'm sorry if that hurt you, but they're awful. If you go to a super like
Oh,
a super
I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying that there have been a lot of teams over the years that have had AFC championship parties, Super Bowl parties, whatever, ready to rock and roll at watching the Patriots fall. Some have been able to celebrate, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles. They've had success in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, but more often than not, Brady gets the better of it, and he's always there. He's been a constant for the last 20 years in being in the thick of things, as are the New England Patriots. I say Brady, meaning that he's attached to that legacy. But that's essentially why I think you hear fans so willing to write off his accomplishments, everything that they do, because it's the only way that you can get revenge in a situation like that. You can't fall back on saying, oh, well, my team always kicked his ass. Maybe the Giants fans can say that because they got the best of him twice in the Super Bowl, but they're about it. I mean, everybody else, Brady has come out on the winning side of most of those rivalries. I mean, we've seen videos of people in Pittsburgh, people in Philadelphia, destroying big screen TVs because they're sick of seeing
Oh, I
the
love it.
Patriots win. That vitriol is real, folks. It really happens. If you're a Patriots fan, wear your Patriots garb in a city that does not include the New England state area. Go into another area and just see the looks that you get and things that happen.
Indianapolis.
It does. Yeah,
Indianapolis,
exactly.
someone wished that I died in a fiery car crash following the 2007 Patriots win over the Colts. As I
And
was walking
imagine,
down the
folks, that
street.
was before. Imagine that was before FPC Radio Live. If
Yes,
there
and I
was
had this
any, no,
platform to
that's
spew all my
brilliant.
nonsense.
So you know that's not. I'm kidding. I'm
No,
kidding,
look,
folks. But
look, I'm going to continue this campaign for as long as I feel it's necessary. Yeah, again, I feel like I have to be the voice of reason here. I have to kind of bring people back from the brink of just absolute just no point of coming back after that. 'Cause like I said, I mean, I hate the prisoner of the moment crowd that what seems to be like half the fan base around here, and it's like people talking about him being a top 10 quarterback of all time. Oh, good God, give me a goddamn break. I apologize. I didn't mean to swear like that, but it just it drives me nuts to sit here and listen to people sit there and try to say that, and it's just like, I don't even know where to start. So anyways, I'm so happy football's back, because we've missed these type of energetic conversations over the last several months. And look, there's so much more. I mean, we're going to have to pick up more of this conversation tomorrow. We're going to talk, obviously, with John Sapicetti. So we'll talk about that. I know he disagrees probably with me a little bit, but, you know, hey, that's always fun. We'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. But we'll also talk about more of the NFL games, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to talk about a 2-0 Dallas Stars lead in Stanley Cup final. You never know. But Yeah. I mean, we got a couple more minutes left. So, yeah, how about this? Why don't you tell me, is there anything outside of what we've talked about that really stood out to you this weekend? And we'll try to carry over that conversation tomorrow and, jump into it that way. So putting you on the spot, Mike.
I'm going to go with my former boys over in the West Coast, and
the boys.
Impressive debut for Justin Herbert.
I
really thought that, coming in for Tyrod Taylor, who was experiencing chest pains before the game, wasn't well publicized that he was going to be the starter, and all of a sudden he's dropped into going one-on-one with the defending Super Bowl champions and arguably the greatest quarterback in the game, and I thought he held his own. I thought he did a great job. One of the ill-timed interceptions, obviously, you're going to get those. Folks, he's a rookie, but the Chargers definitely have a keeper, and to me, I think this kid is going to be the future of that franchise. So I was very impressed by what I saw with Justin Herbert yesterday. Great showing, and nearly took his team to a victory yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun, and it was fun to see. And look, they've already said when Tyrod Taylor's healthy, he's the starter, but you know, at a certain point, you just got to say, like, look, I mean, you spent a high draft pick on the kid. He looked like he came in and looked like he belonged right away. And not often do you see that in a rookie making his first start. So I think the timetable for him has certainly been pushed forward. And I think it's legitimate to sit there and ask, you know, maybe you go to him a lot sooner. And yes, you know, it's an unfortunate situation for Tyrod Taylor, but, you know, them's the breaks, I guess. So, but yeah, I was impressed by the Chargers as well. I'd be remiss to not mention the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has looked pretty damn good the first 2 weeks. So we're going to see how that plays out the rest of the season. Certainly, the Patriots are going to keep an eye on the Bills, because the Jets are the Jets, and you know, the Dolphins, I think, again, are a team that isn't quite ready yet. But, you know, they can certainly play spoiler down the road. But 0-2, that's a tough hill to climb out of, a tough valley to climb out of. So we'll see how that all plays out. But thank you all for listening. We, like I said, we will be back tomorrow. We're going to kind of continue this NFL conversation, because there's so much more that we got to get to and talk about. And, of course, we'll have John Sapicetti on tomorrow as our Sit with Sap. I'm surprised I haven't screwed that up horribly yet when saying that on air. So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll talk maybe some hockey, some basketball, and good stuff. So thank you very much. Give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. I am at IGLEN31. He is at MDABATEFPC. Snowman in the Morning is coming up in just a couple minutes, so stay tuned on Full Press Radio. And of course, head over to the Full Press Shop, because we got a lot of great new stuff coming in, already there, going to be here later this week. So check it out, fullpressshop.com. And have a great day, folks, and we will see you tomorrow.